Good morning, church. Sarah Marie, Stephanie, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing your announcements and engagement whenever you have videos or being able to do that. And yes, this is welcome to your last Facebook live stream. If you're on person there or in person live online or here, next week we're going to be on YouTube. So jump over there. It's going to be awesome. We're excited for that. And if you are catching us midweek in podcast format, however you're here today, it matters that you are here, whether that's online or in person. And regardless of the space, it matters that you're here, and it's an honor to be with you. And we believe God's going to minister and speak through this and the rest of the service here this morning. And so we want to be listening for God's voice in our midst. This morning, we're going to be talking about the power of love in the body of Christ to have supernatural grit and joy. We're going to be talking about the power of love in the body of Christ to have supernatural grit and joy. Something that's essential, I think, in this season in particular. But before I get into that, I just want to start with a confession. Can I just be honest with all of you here today? In March, a month away, we're about to start our second lap in this pandemic. And I'm tired. I'm tired of wearing a mask, of a virus that continues to change and adapt, of political unrest and discord, of hate speech, and what even counts as hate speech. I'm tired of transitions. I'm tired of broken relationships. Tired of being broken myself. I'm tired of necessary endings and seasons of pruning. I'm tired of having to play so much defense in life, wondering when will the offense ever get back on the field. I'm sick of sickness and disease. I'm tired of cancer and people dying of cancer. I'm tired of death and seeing loved ones go. I'm tired of racism. The defense of racism and the indifference towards racism. I'm tired of injustice and unnecessary deaths of minorities in our country and around the world. I'm tired of people being taken advantage of. I'm tired of divisions. I'm tired of a world that aches for change and yet seems to resist it at every turn. I'm tired. I'm watched out, I'm zoomed out, and to be truthfully honest, I'm tempted just to tune out everyone and everything. And what keeps me going is the love of Christ that I experience in this church. It's the love of Christ that I experience in this church that keeps me going. So much has been stripped away in this season, but a source of strength that has remained has been the collective community of this church. Who are strong when I am weak, who are hope-filled when I am down. With you, brothers and sisters, I have been pressed, but not overcome. And today we are continuing with a series, Living as Disciples of Jesus, by looking at the fourth habit. We build one another up in love. And this comes straight from the lifestyle community. We have here the disc that you can find online through our app or discipleshippathway.org in the drop-down menu. It's an awesome thing just to download this image and put it on your phone because you can see the whole pathway at once. But we're looking at community. In particular, we build one another up in love. And I believe this is one of the greatest indicators of the health and capacity within a body of believers. If we can live committed towards one another by being people who build each other up in love, there's no telling what God can do in our midst. The world is a tenuous place right now. Fear is rampant. Hope is in short supply. And yet we are a people with the greatest news the world has ever heard. With the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and with the love of the Father that knows no bounds. And our dream as a church is that the whole world would be caught up in the redemptive adventure of following Jesus. And we have a shot at seeing that dream become reality if we will be a people who go out of our way to build each other up in love. And that's my prayer for today. So I'm going to pray before we go any further. Lord, would you teach us to be a people that builds one another up in love, that sees other people, and we go out of our way to build them up. Lord, would you teach us this? In your name, Jesus, amen. And I have a little theology quiz. about the Trinity to start us off here. It's about the Trinity. Let me ask this question. All right, which person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is the one whose job it is to tear down the other two? Who of the Trinity is the cynic, the naysayer, or belittler? Who is the divisive, unforgiving, or unrepentant one? If anything came to mind, that wasn't the goal. It's almost comical to think about, isn't it? God is perfect love. There exists no dissension, no discord, or despair within the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The very idea of building each other up in love is at first and foremost a reflection of what we witness between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And the paramount importance of our actions being driven by love for one another is reflected in God, and it can't be overstated. It's a love that will push us past pride, envy, jealousy, and bitterness and selfishness to truly build others up. Love is what ignites this, and it's the fuel that will sustain it. And where we find a church that is strong in love and being a community that builds others up in love, there you find a church that's built to last. A church that is gritty and filled with joy. And such a church existed in the second century. The Romans were in charge and the world power at the time, and their Christianity was just a small sect, and they were being decimated by the Roman Empire, persecuted. People were stealing from them without any restraint. They would be thrown in prison without trial or sentence for who knows how long. They were being fed to lions, and yet they still couldn't crush it. And Caesar Hadrian couldn't figure out why they couldn't snuff this little cult out. And so he hired someone to go figure it out. An undercover guy to go infiltrate the church. And after living among the Christians for a time, this spy writes back to Caesar Hadrian, and this is what he says. They love one another. And he who has gives to him who has not, without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him into the home and rejoice over him as a very brother. And if there is among them any that is poor and needy, and if they have no spare food, they fast for 2 or 3 days in order to supply to the needy their lack of food. Such, O king, is their manner of life, and verily, this is a new people, and there is something divine in their midst. Mind you, this is a Roman spy living with Christians to try to understand how can we destroy them? And this is his response. How do you destroy that people? They love one another. They give without boasting. They treat others as brothers and sisters. They fast to supply the need of others, and there is something divine in their midst. Please, God, make us this people today. Let us be gritty and a joy-filled church in 2021, where others say there is something divine in their midst. This is supernatural grit and joy, evidenced by the power of love in the body of Christ. And I long for us to be this church. And I offer to you that we can be this church if we build each other up in love. As we do this, and we do this when we say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ, or we forgive and apologize to resolve a conflict and live at peace. Say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ, and forgive and apologize to resolve a conflict and live at peace. This is where joy and grit come in. And both of these are deeply embedded in Scripture. The first one, say or do something to serve a brother or sister in Christ. This is joy. It's a joy to lean into who God has made you to be and to use the gifts God has given you to serve those around you. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. He said, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 talk all about spiritual gifts. If you haven't read that, go and read it. If it's been a long time, go read it again. Sit in there and just see what Scripture talks about the spiritual gifts. You can learn more. Go to spiritualgifts.com. There's tests you can take, all kinds of stuff. You can learn about these gifts. The beautiful thing about this is that he says everyone's given a gift. And we're given it to build one another up, to build the church up, to encourage, to edify, to strengthen, to train, to equip. And the amazing thing with this is that chapter 13, there's that point where it says, love is patient and kind. It doesn't boast or it's not jealous. And that's a great passage that's read at marriages all the time, weddings and those things. And that's awesome. It's fitting. The context was literally in the midst of building the church up. That we have these gifts, but we do it in love. We build each other up in love using the gifts that God has given us. And God has given each and every one of you unique and special gifts that we need to experience with one another. And that's where the joy comes, because as you administer gifts and you lean in and you serve and say and do things to one another, as the Spirit leads you, you're getting to be Jesus to someone else. And we get to experience Jesus in you as you do that. That fills you with joy. It's amazing. Peter, so this was Paul, Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. And two things on this, that you get to connect with God and be Jesus to one another when you speak and serve. Our words and action, it's just a complete joy. The second thing is you get to do it in the strength that God provides. So when you're tired and weary, you can draw upon something deeper than yourself, to that well of everlasting life that bubbles up within you. The Holy Spirit himself, who gave you the gift, will supply you the strength and energy to build others up. Trust him. Lean into him. And just like anything you're trying at first, it can feel awkward. It can be intimidating. You do something, you're like, you may serve someone, you're like, I just hope their world is changed forever. And you get to hear about it, and oftentimes you do something, you're like, I don't know, I didn't hear anything. Maybe it wasn't you. No, you're listening to God, lean in, serve. You don't always get to see the whole picture, but trust that God is working in that. If the Holy Spirit is leading you, go with him. And I got to see some of this, experience this in the body this week. This is a screenshot I have of our Staff Connect Slack channel. So John Rowe had posted, I won't get into the details, but just know that Kevin Rogan has a superpower and he used it to bless me, which was awesome. And that could have been in just a bunch of hearts. Well, then Kevin responded and said, for the record, that superpower is simply making time to hear and obey the Holy Spirit, which is what we keep asking everyone in this church to do, is to hear and listen, the how of discipleship. And he said, in this case, it blessed both me and John. And that's what happens. It's joy. If we listen and we lean into the spiritual gifts and what the Lord is doing, it can be a powerful encouragement in your own life as well. Now, the second action to build each other up in love is forgive and apologize to resolve a conflict and live at peace. And this is grit, because we have to know we're going to hurt each other, and even in the body of Christ. And yet, we are not going to give up. We will forgive and apologize each other. And so Paul instructs us in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You see, unresolved conflict is like a puzzle with missing pieces. Part of the whole is gone and the picture is incomplete. There is a void. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's just so annoying, isn't it? But this isn't like the one that you just put back in the box and throw in the corner and never do again because you know a piece is missing. This is like the one that's actually already framed and hung on your wall and you see it every single day. And it's just missing a couple pieces. And God invites us to be a part of restoring broken and incomplete pictures, starting with our own. Is there a piece or two missing from your own puzzle? Like, even as we talk about this, does God bring someone to mind that he might invite you to go out of your way just to apologize and forgive? This is where supernatural grit comes in, because we don't have the strength often to walk that road that God invites us to. It's hard. It's painful. Think about Jesus. In the final He was sent here because God loved the world so much that he wanted to forgive us. He sent his son to live a perfect life. And after 30 years of ministry and saying and doing things that were amazing to the world, and for 3 years of full-time ministry, he's now headed to the cross. And on the night before he's to be crucified, he's asking the Lord, is there any other way? He's pleading in the garden. What does God do? He sends an angel to strengthen him, encourage him. Even Jesus needed it, knowing that I'm going to go do this amazing thing. I'm going to lay down my life. It's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. There was no one more gritty than Jesus that has ever walked this planet. And yet he needed God's strength even in that moment. And so he went to the cross for us, his innocence shed for our sin. Laid in a grave, he rose from the dead so that we could have relationship with him, that we could receive forgiveness, that we too could be accepted and forgiven. And when we do this for one another, it's a reflection of what God has done for us. It's his love for us. And I got to witness this in a powerful way this week as well. My parents had come into town, my kids, Nana and Papa. And after they had left, our kids came to us and they just kind of shared how my Nana had said something to the kids at night when we were trying to get ready for bed, just something offhanded, kind of to the side, almost under her breath, but it was really cutting to the kids. And so when we heard this, my wife actually called my mom up and just said, hey, when you said this, did you say it, number one? And if you did, you know, it was just kind of hurtful. And she was like, I'm so sorry. The moment that came out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit convicted me. We're like, well, that's cool. And she apologized to us. And we just thought that was it. It was a cool moment just to have clarity. The next day, I'm at home, and it's that mid-afternoon. That's just like the lull. The kids are home after, you know, school's over. You're trying to get food together. It's just chaos. Kids are yelling. It's just this nuts of a moment of life. Nothing special. And my mom calls, and she goes, hey, the kid's there. I want to talk to him. She gets on the phone, and she shares with the kids. I can overhear. She's sharing with them what she did, what she said, and how it was wrong. And she apologized. And then she said, will you forgive me? And this crazy moment turned into a beautiful, holy moment in my kitchen. As I got to hear my kids say, we forgive you, Nana. Broken pieces restored. Picture becomes beautiful. It was humility, forgiveness, and love. And while it was just a busy afternoon, it was a holy moment where harmony was restored. And what a powerful moment of disciple making for my kids by their Nana. Do you catch that? Their grandmother taught them to apologize and to forgive. It's beautiful, and we can all choose to live this way. It's the way that God invites us to live, that we get to say or do things to serve a brother or sister in Christ, to forgive and apologize, to resolve conflict and live at peace. And both of these actions, they reflect the love of God as reflected in the Trinity. They're deeply rooted in Scripture, and they're central to the gospel message itself. And they allow us to have supernatural grit and joy in crazy ways that the world says there's something divine in their midst. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you that you gave us these examples. Lord, that you yourself came here and you lived these things out. You were as gritty as they come, and you were filled with joy. And the Scriptures say that the joy set before you was us. That's why you endured. For each and every one of us, Lord, we thank you for demonstrating that. And we ask that you would help us be a people that's gritty and filled with joy as we build one another up in love. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.